Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Time now for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Mike.
Welcome in on this beautiful Thursday morning. This is the kind of morning that Dan Issel enjoys because he's probably been to the racetrack this morning and watched the horses work.
Not this morning. I'm going to go down to Lexington on Saturday and watch them work. I'll swing by and pick you up about 6:30.
I'll be up. I'm walking on Saturday morning.
At 6:30?
Yeah, I get up 6:30 because I need to meet my guys about 7:15.
Well, walk down I-64 and I'll pick you up on the way.
You're cold this morning, man. You're really cold. Hey, we've had some interesting things happen. I know we can talk NBA basketball, but second hour, we have Coach Sonny Smith on, the radio analyst for Auburn. But Sonny was a terrific coach and had Barkley and had some great teams at Auburn.
And Chuck, the Rifleman, wasn't he there?
I believe he was there, too.
Some of the best players at – what about Mengelt? Did he
– No, Mengelt was
– before?
He was before. But Sonny had terrific teams and long coaching careers. Great, funny guy. He and Wimp Sanderson did a show similar to this in Birmingham for many, many years. Two of the funniest guys you'd ever want to meet. I mean, those guys are funny. So we'll have Sonny join us. Top of the 11 o'clock hour and?
Yeah, and at 11:30, Chris Burke, who is from Louisville. How he got to Tennessee, we'll have to ask him that, how he got away from UK and U of L. Had a nice long career in Major League Baseball and now does some analyst work on the SEC and ESPN TV stations, and so we'll talk to him primarily about his career and the upcoming College World Series, which begins on Saturday.
And that should be, and I know Vandy probably is, and we'll ask Chris, the hands-on favorite at this point in time with Arkansas out. But, man, Texas has got a nice ball club.
Mm-hmm.
And his Tennessee Volunteers.
Right.
Don't write them off.
No.
I mean, they're pretty daggone good.
Yeah. In fact, I think, aren't they? They're seated, I believe, higher than Vandy is.
No way. Really?
I think Tennessee was the third seed. Am I wrong?
I didn't see the seeding yet. I haven't seen
the seeding. Going into the College World Series, going into the Super Region.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, it could be. Well, ask Chris.
Okay.
I mean, Vandy has been, you know, Vandy on their basis of their pitching has been at the top of the world of college baseball.
Absolutely.
So they're pretty daggone good. But you want to talk about your buddy Bob Baffert.
Did you see what the judge in Frankfurt, I think his name is Judge Wingate, did you see what he ruled yesterday?
Yeah, I did.
he has ruled that the urine sample from Medina Spirit can go to New York and be tested only for the ingredients that are in Automax, the salve that supposedly
the supposed criminal.
Exactly. And I think this is all for naught. This is just to save Bob Baffert's reputation. I mean, in my mind, The betamethasone was in the horse's system. The rule is it cannot be in the system. It doesn't matter how it got there.
Or who put it there.
Exactly. Yeah. This testing is all about Bob Baffert's reputation, the self-proclaimed face of thoroughbred racing.
Self-proclaimed.
But now listen to this. You know, one of the samples was tainted in transit. I think it was the second blood sample.
I missed that.
Somehow became contaminated in the shipping. So to make sure that this doesn't happen, Judge Wingate yesterday ruled that Baffert and Zanon, the owner, have to pay for it, but the sample will be flown by private jet to New York, and there will be two representatives from Baffert's team on the airplane and two representatives from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Racing Association on the airplane.
Do the samples have other bodyguards?
I don't know. But my question to you, Mike, is when do you think the last time was that horse pee had a chartered jet?
Long time ago. back when the Wright brothers.
So the only thing the judge didn't rule was how long they have for this to take place and how long they have for the test results to come back. So who knows where this is going. But I fully expect the next time the Kentucky Commission meets, Medina Spirit will be disqualified.
Well, it's got to happen. I mean, just common sense as we're talking, two guys sitting around talking. But there's people all over this state and racing fans all over the country are going like, are you kidding me? you can't make a decision. At least Kentucky Racing Commission made a decision quickly, unlike they did a few years ago with Country Road. So, I mean,
Country House, pardon me.
I was on a country road once, but Country House. So they made this decision. They're going forward. And, you know, it's like anything else or a lot of things in this country. You kick the can down the road until you finally have to own it or you don't have to own it.
Well,
you should own it now.
Exactly. My favorite quote in all of this is when one attorney, I don't know, they have Baffert attorneys, they have Zanon attorneys, they have Common attorneys. One of the attorneys was on CNN and made the statement that might be the regulation. Talking about betamethasone being in the horse's system. He said, that might be the regulation, but the regulation is wrong.
You know what? If it's so wrong, find out a way to change it, you know?
Exactly.
You know, don't be selling wolf tickets up front when you can't deliver on the backside, right?
So at some point, the urine sample will have a chartered jet from Kentucky to New York.
With security.
With security.
That's amazing. That is. I wonder who pays for the flight.
Commission? No. Baffert and Zanon have to pay for the flight.
Man, that's a gift that keeps on giving, kind of like all the mess out at U of L, kind of like what Yahoo Sports has done to Calipari.
Yahoos at Yahoo.
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be somebody up there process that is got it out for Calipari that every time there's an opening, they throw his name in.
I was thinking.
I mean, that might be Mark Blankenbaker, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening to the Diener show in the morning, and he's got Blankenbaker, who's a cat hater. We got a couple clips here, Dan. I want you to hear. I don't know if you heard it.
No.
Yeah, we want him to go to the NBA. I'm so tired of that freaking guy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Him, and now he's got Orlando.
Well, you're tired of him because he's one. He's owned Louisville since he's been there.
You know, and he's got Orlando and Tua back. And, like, you know, now he's gotten a serious assistant coach. The Kenny Payne thing's not as a big a deal now that Antigua's back home there with La Familia and all these different things. So, yeah, no, you don't. Like, if you're a Louisville fan, absolutely, you don't want John Calipari at Kentucky. He's too good of a recruiter. They're going going to have a really nice year this year. Just get ready for it. Like, you know, enjoy the 9-win thing while you can.
Because they're going to be good.
They're going to be good. Just buckle up. I don't know if they're going to be the Monstars. I haven't seen the warehouse video yet to overreact to, but, you know, they are definitely going to be much better than they were a year ago.
Well, Blankenbaker had a few nice things to say about Kentucky. That's pretty hard to believe because he's a hater. Okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the facts are right in front of him that John Calipari recruits good players, so, you know.
Well, that's the comment, and I'm going to bring this up to Dan, that I thought was I'm not defending Calipari here. He can defend himself. He has defended himself. But from a former coach, your former coach, when they talk about him, they talk about his recruiting, not his coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And he's won a bunch of games. He may not have won as much as some of the Big Blue Nation wanted. And the first thing they say is, well, he's a good recruiter. And then they leave it. I mean, okay, just like a horse. You get a good horse, you get it to the right trainer. And sometimes, and you're going to win races. You may not win the Kentucky Derby. Okay, a lot of people have entered and not won.
Yep.
Okay, in any of those major stakes races, but you're going to win races. Well, he's won races. So, but now they just want to qualify him as a recruiter. I think that's unfair. I'm not saying he's the greatest coach who ever walked the face of the earth, but I'm saying he's a very good basketball coach.
Well, and he really has created some of this himself, Mike, talking about only one national championship since he's been there, because, you know, he has and UK certainly promotes the fact of all the first round draft picks and all of the players in the NBA that that matriculated at UK. And so people look at that and say, man, you've had all that talent. How come we only won one national championship? Which I think is a legitimate question. I used to think that when this came out, and it comes out every year.
Automatic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, every year he's going to the NBA. He's tired of Kentucky. He's tired of the direction college basketball's going. If he finds the right job, he's going to the NBA. And I used to think that it was his agent just keeping his
name. I did,
name,
too.
Just keeping it. But the more I see this, the timing wouldn't be right for an agent to throw that out there. This has to be coming from other sources to affect the recruiting so that, you know, Calipari at least has to go to these recruits and say, don't pay any attention to that. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be right here at Kentucky. So, you know, it's you would think it's kind of like the if a story keeps coming out and coming out and coming out, and it's not true and it's not true and it's not true, pretty soon you're going to completely ignore it. And somebody said that Yahoo took that story down.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, I heard that Yahoo took that story down because it was so far out there.
Well, I think it's a two-edged sword. I think that I book it that the guys at Alabama, the guys at North Carolina are using that against him. You can just book that in some form or fashion, using that against him. But if I'm Calipari, I turn it around. I say, you know what? I'm telling you to your face or on a Zoom call, whatever's appropriate at that time, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. It's a very nice compliment to me to think that I could coach in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Now, if your goal is to get a spot in the NBA, why wouldn't you want to come play for a coach who, A, has put players in the NBA, and B, every year my name keeps popping up, but I don't go anywhere. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want that?
Right.
I mean, you could turn that as a sales pitch into, and that's what it is when you recruit, you sales pitch, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Coach Mack is going to have a really tough time here until all of this talk about, you know, going on probation and all of that stuff, until it is settled, people are going to bring that back up to people that Coach Mack are recruiting. So, you know, it's a tough situation once that information gets out there. Because, I mean, this goes back, I don't know if you experienced this, but when I was being recruited 100 years ago, it took place then. schools would find out what other schools you were interested in. And I've told this story before. The coach at Illinois came into my dining room with me and my mother and did not say he knew I was interested at that time between Northwestern and Wisconsin. He did not say one positive thing about the University of Illinois. All he did was take shots at Wisconsin and Northwestern. And the fact that since I was an Illinois boy, I owed it to the university to go to school there. But, that's happened since recruiting began.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard that from Ohio State folks about going to Ohio State also. So that's normal, right? Yeah. But I didn't have a coach come in and just out and out badmouth anybody else. I mean, Cincinnati didn't badmouth Dayton, vice versa, Kentucky, Michigan. They all were pretty, as I can remember, it's been a while, pretty clean about it. But I do remember Ohio State trying to lean on me late, as you're an Ohio boy, you need to come to the state university. Which I don't think it was a negative recruiting, but right. it was a pitch.
Right. Yeah, well, I certainly experienced it for sure.
Well, you're taller than me. how about? Did you have something you wanted to bring up?
No, I just wanted to, and this has nothing to do with sports, but as I told you, I had dinner last night with Louie and Judy Sherry, had dinner with Louie and Judy Dampier, and it's the first time that we've been out in over a year. And we used to go out to dinner every other week.
Right.
But, so it was a fun experience, and Louie's so funny.
He's out now. He was
a hermit.
Hermit, yeah.
They had to be because of Judy's medical situation. They had to protect themselves. And Louie's pretty much of a hermit in...
As he is.
Non-pandemic days.
Yeah, he is.
But we went to this restaurant... And I'm hearing this all over town, all over the state, I guess all over the country. People can't find anybody to work. We went to a restaurant out on Brownsboro Road, close to where we live. The dining room was not open. They had nobody seated in the dining room. There were 12 tables. I counted them, 12 tables in the bar area. And we got the last one. And... When the lady sat us down, she said, "Now you've got to be patient. We've got all these people in here, 12 tables, and so you have to be patient because we don't have a lot of help." And so, we had a nice dinner, and it was pretty much on time. But at 8 o'clock, they locked the door. Now this is a nice
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. So they can't open the dining room. They're closing the doors at 8 o'clock because they can't find help. I don't know where all the people went. Are they still sitting at home in their pajamas and not out looking for work or
waiting for that government check on the 1st or the 15th?
You think that's what it is?
Oh yeah. Look at the process. He's nodding his head to that too. Yeah.
But that's sad. I mean, here we are open. You don't have to wear your mask. Restaurants are at full capacity. And this place has the bar open, the bar area open, till 8 o'clock at night because they can't find help.
That is really I had a different experience last night. My brother by another mother, Craig Schutte,
absolutely.
And he had turned 76, and they threw a dinner for him down at Porcini. And they couldn't... Timmy Corey and all of them couldn't have been nicer. And this was about an 8-person deal, okay? People that he had working for him at one time in France. And they waited on you hand and foot. Now, the restaurant was not real crowded when we walked in, but they waited on you, man. It was terrific service. And I didn't think that they were struggling with help. Of course, it's a smaller restaurant.
And I'm guessing... that because of the prices, I'm guessing a wait person can make a pretty good living at a place like Porcini's. Yeah. We were at a restaurant. I mean, it wasn't a fast food restaurant, but it wasn't Porcini's.
Middle cut.
Yeah. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, well, if if you can't get service when you go out or it's slow or whatever it is, you have a real hesitancy to go back. Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, it's well, you just tipped me off to one not to go to.
Well, I don't, you know, I'm not blaming them. I feel sorry for them that they can't get enough help to open up the, now that the restrictions are all over, that they can't get enough help to open up the dining room.
Yeah. Strange world. But what is even stranger in the world of baseball, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 22 straight road losses. If you were managing that team, what in the world would you do, Dan Issel?
I'd be looking at the one ads. I'd be seeing what restaurants in my neighborhood needed help. That's what I'd be doing. On the other hand, the Reds have won 8 in a row on the road. Yeah. And I watched that game. That was an afternoon game yesterday before we went out to dinner. I watched most of that game. And I'm telling you, the Reds have gone from helping the Cubbies to being a serious threat to the Cubbies, because everybody knows they can hit. I mean, they might have the best hitting lineup in the National League Central. But the pitching, Mike, has really started to come on, especially the bullpen that was just awful at the beginning of the year. The last week or so, they've come in and shut people down. So if they can continue to get that kind of pitching,
and Mike Pratt, on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now Dan and Mike.
It's just amazing when you watch that bullpen. And now versus a month ago or 3 weeks ago or the first part of the season. So I have high hopes for my Reds. Milwaukee's leading their division. They're tied with the Cubs.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Reds are what? Two back.
And the Cardinals are three back.
Three back.
Yeah.
And the Reds have been on a – now, they're not the San Francisco Giants yet, okay, who might be the best team in baseball. But the Reds are 8-2. They've won 6 in a row, 8-2. And they're on the road, I believe.
San Diego
Padres.
Yeah. So that's – San Diego's a little better ball club than Milwaukee. So
you think?
We'll see how they do the rest of this weekend.
Are you degrading Major League Baseball's Central Division where your Cubbies are?
I'm not degrading them. It certainly it would not be mistaken as the best division in baseball for sure. Speaking of baseball, what about all this stuff that's going on with the Goop and they're going to – I was laughing yesterday. The penalty –
10 days.
If they catch you, the penalty is 10 days with pay. Now, to me, that's not a penalty. That's a vacation.
with pay.
Yeah, that's a vacation. That's not a penalty. But if you could screw it up, Major League Baseball will do it. But this is real interesting. And I go back to the beginning of the year when we had all of these no-hitters and the players couldn't hit the ball out of the infield. And now I guess they've been enforcing this or looking into it anyway for about the last 10 days or 2 weeks. And the home runs and the batting averages are already going up. So there's something to that. And, spin rate is a fairly new term in baseball. But evidently, if you can't hold on to the ball, with your sticky fingers, that spin rate goes down and the ball's a little easier to hit.
But you have to admit, you followed baseball all your life. So have I. Back in the day, there was always conversation about guys. And I think there's some pictures that I remember. Whitey Ford was accused of doctoring the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You remember Warren Spahn, the big left-hander?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was always accused.
Spahn and Sane and pray for rain. That was the Milwaukee Braves saying. They had Warren Spahn and Sane. I can't remember Sane's first name. Two great pitchers. And then it was nothing after that.
Well, they always accused these pitchers of doctoring the ball in some form or fashion. And it was just kind of, it never was really addressed. It was just kind of swept under the rug. And now baseball, along over the last, 10, 12 years, they've changed the ball.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they tried to make it, I think originally they wanted to have higher scores, more fun, more hitting for the fan.
Sure.
They changed the ball, and now they've changed it again and again. So now the pitchers decided, well, if baseball can – stack it against me in many ways.
Yep.
I'm going to try to trick them again. Not that it ever stopped. I don't think it ever stopped.
And no, it
Phil
is never
Negro,
stopped.
Didn't he used
yeah.
to?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was notorious. But now Glasgow, the kid for Tampa Bay, really a good pitcher. He said he got hurt because he had to quit using this stuff. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Evidently, sunscreen is one of the ingredients that they're using to goop the ball up. And so now the pitchers have to stop using sunscreen, or if they get caught, they go on a 10-day vacation. And so this kid said, well, I stopped using sunscreen two games ago, and because of that, my delivery changed, and that's why I got injured.
the body motion of
exactly,
the delivery.
Exactly.
Oh man. I tell you. And sunscreen makes a lot of sense in that you don't have to hide it like they used to hide.
Right, yeah.
Goop in the glove,
right.
On their pants, on the bottom, on their shoe.
Under the bill of your hat.
Under the bill of your hat. Now you just lotion up and, you know, you start sweating, so I got to move it around.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a natural.
Exactly.
That is a natural. And DeGrom, a guy who's got 0.52 or something ERA. He's phenomenal. He pitched, could only pitch three innings.
Yeah.
And he had seven Ks in those three innings.
Yeah.
Seven straight Ks.
That was against my Cubbies.
Yes, it was. I didn't want to bring that up.
No, but that kid is phenomenal. But then, now this is a brand new injury. I mean, it was his elbow that has kept him from going deep in games to this point. Last night it was a shoulder. So I don't know. I mean, the guy throws 100 miles an hour. It's just not natural. So I don't know. We'll have to see. He's a phenomenal pitcher. The stat that's unbelievable to me, Mike, is he has more RBIs than he's given up earned runs. He's given up four earned runs this year and has five RBIs. But he's a phenomenal pitcher. But, you know, if he's sitting in the dugout, it doesn't much matter.
No, and it's amazing how they judge, and you talked about this with your grandson, they judge prospects with the fastball.
That's
how fast is a fastball?
That's
okay?
It.
So now we're finding, or they think possibly, that guys are throwing too hard, and that hurts their arm. And guys are judged when they're young as they move up the ladder to get to the bigs with their fastball.
Yeah.
They get to the bigs, something goes wrong, and they go, oh, well, maybe he's throwing too hard.
Yeah.
Huh?
No, all these scouts have is a radar gun. That's all they care about. And I told you with my grandson, you know, until last spring, he was in 87, 88, which for a junior in high school is still really fast. But he didn't have a lot of traction as far as recruiting, schools recruiting him. And then last spring, the first day he went over 91, I think he hit 91 and 92, schools came out of the woodwork. Same kids, same location, same control. His fastball went up 4 miles an hour. And now now a lot more schools are interested in him than before. So, it's all about – and then you have pitchers like Hendricks that's going for the Cubs tonight. The Mets are looking for a four-game sweep. But Kyle Hendricks, he can't break 90. But he's got pinpoint accuracy and has been a really good pitcher for a long time. So I don't know if you can throw the ball that hard but can't stay healthy. I'd rather have somebody that, you know, can throw it 92 and stay in the game.
When the Braves were rolling, okay, when they were really rolling in the 80s and 90s.
With Maddox and
yeah, I was going to go there. Yeah. Maddox, your Cubbies traded Maddox to the Braves.
Yeah.
And he had a phenomenal career. And he was what we used to call a junk ball pitcher.
Yeah, no.
He wasn't a fastball. He was junk ball.
And the thing about him was he had such great accuracy. He'd put the ball on the outside edge, and the ump would call it a strike. And the next time he'd put it a little farther out and a little farther out and just checking how far.
Teasy.
Yeah,
teasy.
See how far outside he could throw the baseball before the ump. And, you know, once he got like three balls out of the strike zone, the ump called it a ball. He said, well, I know now. I can throw it two balls out of the strike zone and get the call. So he was an amazing pitcher.
Yeah, but the point is, before we go to break, the point is this. He was given up on by the Cubs for whatever the reason, and he was a junk ball guy, and he survived, had a hell of a career.
Yeah, well, they didn't get a maiden. The Atlanta Braves didn't get a maiden. The Cubs have traded an awful lot. You know, probably the worst one ever is Lou Brock for Ernie Broglio.
Yeah.
Lou Brock only goes to the Hall of Fame, and it costs Ernie Broglio $10 to get into the Hall of Fame. Mike, let me tell you about my friends at Berno's Pizza. There are 13 area locations in Kentuckiana. It's my favorite spot to watch the games. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Berno's has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Berno's are now delivering alcohol, carry out, and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. And like we talked about earlier, all hiring at all positions right now for Berno's.
They're wide open.
They're looking for help too. Yeah, it's that good. Berno's Pizza.
We'll take a break if process.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back, Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, presented by Stockton Mortgage.
Like many of my friends, you may be searching for your dream home, but be sure to get the best mortgage for that home. The folks at Stockton Mortgage are the best at helping people find a complete financing option that works for them. So don't wait. Get started with our favorite home loan, folks at Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259, Equal Housing Lender.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Did I not turn it over?
No, you were perfect. You were perfect.
Well, let's talk some hoops here. We've got former Auburn coach Sonny Smith on in the second hour, and then Chris Burke to talk about some college baseball. But let's address this mess that is because, and it's not a mess, but it's interesting turn of events in the playoffs, right?
Now,
but wait.
Okay.
First.
All right.
Six coaches in the newest addition to the unemployment line. Don't feel sorry for them because they've all made a lot of money.
And I think in most cases, maybe not Scott Brooks. I think Scott Brooks' contract was over.
Yeah.
But except for Scott Brooks, they'll all be going to the mailbox this year.
And Donnie Nelson, you probably knew Don, his dad.
I know Donnie.
Yeah, know Donnie. I used to see Donnie all the time, too. I had a lot of respect for the Nelsons. And he'd been there 20-plus years.
24.
Wow.
24 years with the Mavericks.
So earlier this week, we talked about a guy, a gambler.
Former gambler. He doesn't gamble anymore.
Okay.
He's a former
Cuban
gambler.
Brings him into the position of assistant to Cuban, whatever that means, okay? Cuban brings him in, and he starts making calls, even made a call supposedly in the second round on who to pick. And he's an analytic guy. He was an analytic guy, I understand, in what I read in gambling. So he analyticked Donnie Nelson out of his job.
And Donnie Nelson, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Nelsons, his father, of course, a long time and excellent, great player with the Boston Celtics. And Don coached very successfully. He was at Golden State, I believe.
Started in Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee,
yeah.
And Donnie's always been around. I can remember one time I took Scott. We went to the NBA camp pre-draft camp in Chicago, and we were with the Nelsons and three or four other people. Scott was only, I don't know, 15, 16 years old, and Donnie said to Scott, let's stop hanging out with these old guys, and Donnie took Scott, and they went out someplace on their own. But Donnie Nelson is responsible for two of the best players in the history of the Dallas Mavericks. He was the one who found and traded up to draft Dirk Nowitzki, who, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. And he also found Luka. And so this will be interesting because, remember, Luka had a run-in, and I don't even know the guy's name. Don't want to know the guy's name, the former gambler. He had a run-in with him during a game because he thought that the guy was making derogatory gestures to him. And Luka and Donnie, I'm assuming, are very close. So this will be interesting. But, yeah, a guy who's been there 24 years, was responsible for two of the best players in the history of your franchise, and you kick him out over some analytic guy? It doesn't make sense to me.
And we don't know that for sure, but I would bet the house that this guy was behind it.
Well, sure he was.
Yeah, well, that's the way the NBA works, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Donnie Nelson Jr. Coached over in Europe, and that's pretty much where he got his foothold in Europe, knows a lot of people. Then he came back and went to work in Dallas. I believe his dad coached Dallas a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's when Donnie went to work there initially, was when Don was coaching the Mavericks.
But the transition from working only the American college to the professional teams or semi-professional in Europe, Donnie Nelson was one of the leaders.
Yeah.
And it came from his contacts.
And Mike, he's very well respected in the NBA. If he wants another job, he can do it. Don Nelson, I ran into Don Nelson a couple years ago at the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Don Nelson now lives in Hawaii, is retired in Hawaii, and he looks... He looks like a hippie out of the 60s. I didn't even recognize him. He had a long hair, and he had on these goofy-looking sandals. And it took me a while to figure out who he was. But, you know, if Donnie wants to retire, I'm sure that he's able to do that. But if he wants to continue to work in the NBA, he won't have a hard time finding a job.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. And now, Daddy Don, funny guy, great beer drinker, right? I mean, the guy was... one of the best. He started a trend in the NBA, took a kid by the name of Paul Pressey,
yep,
who we tried to recruit when I was coaching at Charlotte in the early 80s. But he academically, we couldn't get him in. He ended up going to VCU maybe, or Tulsa. I'm sorry, Tulsa. I really liked this kid. He was about 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, and
he
I remember him.
You remember?
Well.
He was one of those guys that when you say positionless basketball, that was him. So Nelson, big Don, he decides to call him a point forward. You remember that? And he said, I don't need point guards. I got a point forward. And the offense ignited itself through Paul Pressey at the point forward. Couldn't shoot a lick. Okay.
Yep.
He was Ben Simmons before Ben Simmons.
That, you know what? You read my mind, Mike. Is that embarrassing? How can you call yourself a professional basketball player and go 4 for 14 from the free throw line? They were doing the hack of Simmons last night a couple of times. They put him on the line on purpose because 4 for 14. From the free throw line last night.
And you're one of the highest paid players on your team, and you can't make foul shots. But the other thing is, at times, Doc Rivers has to take him out. Can't have him in at the end of the game.
Right.
And the guy really is a good passer, okay, and a good defender. But, I mean, they don't guard him, and then they foul him. So he sits over there. And if you or I are owning that team, I don't have to question – Rivers about taking him out. I get that, okay? But you have to question somebody in that franchise for why did you draft him? Why hasn't he developed? And can you trade him now?
Yeah, yeah. And those are all good points. The last one being probably not, certainly not to get anything for him. But you mentioned, I mean, he had 9 assists last night, so he can pass the ball a little bit. He's a good defender. But how can you keep a guy on the floor who can't score? I mean, flat out can't score. If, you know, I wouldn't, if I was guarding him, I wouldn't get close to him till he got to the paint because he can't shoot a lick.
Yeah, good point.
And as a result, I don't know if you can blame it all on him, but Philadelphia gives up a 26-point lead last night at home. And they've got Allen Iverson and Julius in the building. They're up 26 and give it all up to Atlanta. I mean, if you look at those two games last night, I wouldn't have given Atlanta or the Clippers a chance to win those two games. And they both pull them out and now have the home court advantage. So the series, the NBA series, have been very interesting.
Well, I said this yesterday or the day before that when Kawhi's injury was released, I said Paul George can't carry this team. You know, they're in big trouble. Boy, I was wrong.
Yeah, you were. You were. But you were going on history.
Exactly.
Because there's, I mean, Paul George has a history of disappearing in the playoffs, not contributing nearly what he does. And not only does he have 37 points last night, Mike, he has 16 rebounds.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I mean, he got some help. There's no question about that. I mean, Morris gets 25 and Jackson 22, but 37 points and 16 rebounds, that's impressive. That's some kind of performance.
You know, Reggie Jackson is a there's been a bunch of Reggie Jacksons, okay?
Mm-hmm. In Mr. baseball.
Mr. October in baseball, but there's other Reggie Jacksons. And this kid's not a kid, he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
And he's played really well in this series.
He has.
Spot up shooter. He's knocked it down, shooting with confidence.
And you know, it was rather a benign performance by Donovan Mitchell. You know, he has 21, but had to take a lot of shots to get it. But the guy that the Clippers have taken out of this series is the big center, the defensive.
Gobert.
Yeah, the defensive center. He has not made much of a contribution at all. And you would think with the lack of really tall guys, height in the Clippers lineup, that he would be dominating. But they're playing small ball. They're taking him away from the basket. And they've basically neutralized the defensive player of the year.
Well, what's interesting, and I said this a couple weeks ago about what I believe it was Atlanta did to New York with Randall.
Yeah.
They ran people at him trying to get him to give the ball up. But in the second part of that is not just that, it's to get him out of his rhythm, try to take him or keep him from going to areas where he feels comfortable. You know what I'm talking about. You had a sweet spot on the floor or sweet spots on the floor. And I think when you run somebody at a guy, and I think Mitchell's probably a better passer than Randall. It's not that big a difference, but they're doing the same thing to Donovan Mitchell. They're running another defender at him, mm-hmm. okay, forcing him to go to a place on the floor maybe isn't his favorite place. And remember Chris Paul the other night? 5 straight times he gets to the right side of the elbow. Yeah. I mean, the guy loves that spot, right? Why do you let him take it? Make him go left. So the Clippers are doing a better job, I think, with him and forcing him to take some shots maybe he doesn't like or isn't as comfortable. I mean, shooters get in rhythm, right? People don't understand it. You get a rhythm, and if somebody lets you stay in that rhythm, it's lights out. But you're not going to stop these guys at this level right now.
And
you're going to slow them down.
Yeah, and early in this series, I didn't think that the absence of Mike Conley had made much difference the first two games at home in Utah. But the two games in L.A. and last night, I think there are some players that are missing Conley and not being able to get them, because he can score the basketball too, but he's not out there getting them the ball in the right positions. And so if Conley's unable to play, I think that Tyronn Lue, the coach of the Clippers, has made the adjustments now to put his team in the favorites role going forward.
But to your point, I mean, I think that's an excellent point. I think this addresses Utah and their lineup, okay, their team. Conley, I mean, yeah, he does all the things you said, but you've been without him for a while now. Mm-hmm. You've got to find somebody,
yeah,
and somebody's got to be ready on that bench to step in.
Yeah.
Okay, you see it coming. You see Conley sitting, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I want to get some minutes now. I want to get to play. And you got to deliver. Or if you don't deliver in those situations, then you're probably the wrong guy on that roster.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned Lue has done a great job of making adjustments in this series, and I don't think Utah has made the adjustments to the adjustments to be able to win the games.
Well, I got to go back to the Sixers in the ATL, because that was just a phenomenal game. They were up 72-46 in the third quarter with 8:31 to go.
Yeah, 26 points.
And you blew it. And I'll tell you a guy that lit it up last night, three-time Sixth Man of the Year, Lou Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
Lou Williams has been passed around the NBA by quite a few teams. He's been known as an offensive-only guy, and that's what he was 7 of 11, 15 second-half points. The guy's got unlimited range, okay, and no conscience.
Now, well, the difference in that game and why Atlanta was able to make up that 26-point deficit was that there was help off of the bench for Atlanta. There was none for the 76ers. In fact, Embiid and Seth Curry shot lights out last night, but Embiid has 37. Seth Curry has 36. There's not another 76er in double figures, Mike. Tobias Harris has disappeared.
He's a good player. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's in the witness protection program. I don't know where he is. And we talked about Simmons and his inability to score. But then you look on the other side of the box score, and not only does Lou Williams come in and give him a great help off the bench, but Denali Garden
Gianelli?
Gianelli, no.
He's the
Gallinari.
Gallinari, the place for the ATL.
Yeah, yeah. He also came off the bench, and you know, I thought his career was over a couple of years ago. He's a former Denver Nugget, and
very high draft pick.
Yeah, and he comes off the bench and gives him 16. So I don't know. I didn't give Atlanta any chance to win this series, but now they've got the next game at home. I don't know.
To the point you're addressing, only two 76ers made hoops, not foul shots, but hoops, in the second half. Only two.
Embiid, really?
And Curry.
And Curry?
They were 12 of 21, okay, between them. And the team – nobody else on the team scored a basket. They scored them all.
That kind of tells the story, doesn't
it? The team was 12 of 32, and they were 12 of 21.
So what my question is, why in the world did somebody else take those 11 shots?
You played in games where it snowballs on you. It gets out of control.
Yeah.
You either get on a roll or somebody's rolling you.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it gets awful tight. I mean, you've got a 26-point lead, and all of a sudden Atlanta gets it down to single digits, Atlanta's playing free and easy, and the 76ers just get tighter and tighter and tighter. And, yeah, that was amazing that they came back. What'd you say, 8 minutes in the third quarter they had a 26-point
lead? Yeah, the score was 72-46 at 8:31 in the third.
You could almost just run out the 24-second clock every time down.
Just about.
And still win the game in that situation.
And you try to ride Embiid, and he's a rideable guy. He's terrific. But you need more than one. I mean, that's why teams try to get three guys that they can count on offensively. They call them the big three, whatever they want to call them. They get three guys. Well, Philly's still searching for a consistent third. And Curry's a guy that, long-term, he's not going to be one of your big three.
He's a rotation guy. Yeah, you wouldn't think so, would you? I mean, you certainly wouldn't expect him to come out and score 36 points, go 7 for 12 from the three-point line. That's gravy. That's a bonus. But where are the rest of your people?
Daddy Curry taught those boys how to shoot, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I don't know how much time they spent in the driveway, but those two young men can shoot the basketball.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, they can get it done. But it'll be interesting. Now, the Jazz have to go to L.A., right?
L.A., yeah, tomorrow night. And I'll tell you who will be cheering for the Jazz louder than anybody, the Phoenix Suns, because with Chris Paul, I'm not exactly sure what the protocol is. It's my understanding that he can come out of quarantine earlier if he tests negative two times in a row, but I don't know how far apart those tests can be. But if the Clippers win tomorrow night, that series with the Suns starts Sunday. And I don't know if Chris Paul will be available on Sunday night. So you know the Suns are going to be – they probably don't care who wins the series. It'd be nice if the Clippers won, only in the respect that it would give them, the Suns, home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals. But you know they're praying that this series between the Clippers and the Jazz goes seven games.
They want that series extended.
Absolutely.
Going back to the Sixers game, and I Googled the box because I didn't want to say anything before I checked this out.
Hey, we're nothing if not accurate.
That's right,
Michael.
We make every attempt to be accurate.
That's right.
The three other starters on the Sixers besides Curry and Embiid, you know how many field goals they made together?
Well, I know they were all single digits, and I know that Tobias Harris had 4 points, so I'm going to say he had two. I don't think Simmons could score more than two if you left him in the gym at halftime. And who's the other starter?
Korkmaz.
I'm going to say they had five baskets.
Well, you're pretty daggone close. They had six. Each one of them had two. So the game was close, right? I mean, Philly gave up the lead, okay? But here's an interesting point. You talk about Simmons. The ATL got to the charity stripe 28 times, made 22. Okay? Philly gets to the charity stripe 38 times, it makes 23. So there's only 1 point, as it stands, statistically, difference at the charity stripe. But you got your guy, Ben Simmons, going 4 for 14. That cost him the ball game.
Absolutely.
You can talk about losing a lead. Talk about a lot of things. It cost him the ball game.
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't have picked those two winners last night. So we'll see what happens going forward. But it's always interesting to watch, that's for sure. We'll be back. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville, presented by Stockton Mortgage.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.